Hello and welcome to the DeFi Daily, a 10-minute or less crypto and DeFi update. I'm Amy, here with Pat, and today is Monday, September 28th, 2020.
Bitcoin's down 1.6% to 10,696, and Ethereum is down 1.2% to 354. Both are doing pretty well, though.
All right. Thank you, as always, to our sponsor, Bitwave. Bitwave is a digital asset management platform that does DeFi investment monitoring, token tax tracking, gain loss reporting, and more. You can check them out online at bitwave.io or on Twitter at Bitwave Platform. All right. Up first, the biggest story, KuCoin. So, Pat, what happened?
Yeah, KuCoin. That's all we're talking about today. Big hack. So, September 25th, this happened on between Thursday and Friday of last week. Kind of didn't really see it happening too much during the day on Friday. Otherwise, we would have covered it Friday during the show. It was kind of getting rumored, but no one was quite sure. When we recorded, there was a couple of hints. But essentially what was happening is that someone noticed that that out of the KuCoin various addresses they control, and we will talk a lot about this because this is where a lot of the issue here comes from. But someone knows from, you can kind of tell what addresses an exchange controls based on when you are depositing to it. So a lot of the time, like you'll see a deposit to or from addresses coming from. So you can kind of spot the addresses that the exchanges control based on flow, crypto flow through the system. So a few people were monitoring KuCoin's various addresses they can control for ERC-20s, for a few different other tokens that are out there, and noticed that they were starting to get drained. They also noticed that a few of the hot wallet addresses that they use for Bitcoin were also basically had dropped down, and then there was no new had dropped down to zero, and then no new transactions on it, which is a very typical. There's sort of two options, right? One is that this could have been some sort of maintenance that was happening, and for a long time people thought this might be some sort of like emergency maintenance. Or this could have been a hack. So that's as things progressed on Friday, it became more obvious that it was a hack because coins were flowing out at a very drastic pace and flowing towards exchanges. The coins were mainly affected were ERC-20 tokens and a little bit of Ethereum, a little bit of Bitcoin, I believe. But it was about the initial reports were $150 million. It later came in that it maybe was closer to $280 million. Like there's a lot of confusion around this, and I think that this is all of this speaks very badly on KuCoin, which we'll speak to. But so coins started flowing out. Finally, late Friday, KuCoin kind of stepped up and said, "Hey, this is Friday, America, U.S. time." KuCoin stepped up and said, "Yes, something's going on. The second message they sent was your funds are safe, which is like, come on, you guys. Obviously, they said that before they even really knew what was going on. What they did is they shut down their They almost immediately, and this is according to their CEO, did kind of like an AMA slash, just talking to make people feel better sort of thing late Friday night. Their initial response was to just shut down their private key, their private wallet, their hot wallet private server. I say hot wallet, but like there's a lot of confusion here around hot wallets versus cold wallets because what they were calling cold wallet storage was also getting dumped. So it would be very surprising to see cold wallet storage getting dumped. Like that means someone was in the building, had a phone on a piece of paper that was actually able to dump it, which it doesn't seem like that was the case here. So, but it's very, very confusing here. And this is KuCoin's really done a pretty miserable job managing the communications here. But he did an AMA and said that as soon as they detected the hack, or within a few minutes or 10 minutes or something like that, they went and they shut down their hot wallet server. But then the attack continued. So essentially what happened, which is, and this is where there was sort of like an exaggeration of the effect, was that once they shut down their wallet server, obviously the hacker had had private keys that gave them access to their funds. So the hacker was just moving, they had direct, so I guess KuCoin came in and sort of had this hypothesis that the hacker had access to their hot wallet server, but not the actual private keys. So shutting down the hot wallet server should have stopped the bleed. It did not. So it turned out the hacker had access to the private keys themselves, not just the hot wallet server. So in fact, what they did when they shut it down is they more crippled their own response to it because they now couldn't start transferring funds at higher gas rates to other places. So that was their first response. Very quickly after that, or within some reasonable amount of time, people have done started to do the forensics on it. You start to see high gas price transactions moving funds away from that. It wasn't making a big difference. The hacker, over the course of like 5 hours, got most of the ERC-20 tokens and most of it. He was pretty indiscriminate. You know, he or she was pretty indiscriminate. They grabbed a lot of really bad coins that have absolutely no value, and they grabbed a lot of coins that had a lot of value. Long story short, Friday night, it was acknowledged as a hack. $150 million or $300 million, somewhere in that range, was moved away. It is not clear how much of KuCoin's infrastructure that was or how much of their holdings that was. But they did say that they have an insurance fund that covers all of it and will make everyone whole. So they are asserting that everyone will be made whole and that no actual money will be lost by the users. I don't know. We'll talk about that.
Okay. So what else is KuCoin saying?
Well, yeah. So they're saying that they basically had an insurance fund set up that will cover this. The problem with KuCoin's entire response on this, and so KuCoin's been hit before. Like, this is not their first hack. And what should give everyone a ton of pause was during the AMA on Friday, or during like the little talk the CEO gave, he actually made the assertion that he wouldn't talk about their total holdings, and he wouldn't talk about what percentage of the total holdings that had been taken. To me, and what he actually said directly was that their total holdings is in fact a proprietary secret. That's BS. Like, your holdings as an exchange is absolutely not a proprietary secret, unless two things are happening. One, unless you're lying to people, or two, unless you're doing some sort of fractional reserve currency and you have to be cautious about bank runs and things like that. But every bank in the world publishes their total holdings. Most of the major legitimate exchanges publish their holdings. You know, there's Coinbase, Kraken, both have verifiable mechanisms to look at all of their holdings and actually do audits yourself if you want to. So, you know, legit exchanges do not lie and do not obfuscate and do not hide the amount of total crypto they hold. So I think that this is like the first major misstep that they've done is saying that. You know, what you want to be able to do, I would look at this and I would be shocked if KuCoin had a lot more than this. I could be wrong. I mean, I have no idea. They because they aren't saying it, because they're essentially locking all their users out. Like, I have no idea if it's true or not. But I mean, my impression is that this is probably a very big chunk of their holdings, and it seems like it would be nearly impossible to actually underwrite this. Now, they do have a relationship with an insurance provider, but that insurance, as near as I can tell after going through it and after looking through a lot of their documentation, covers their custodial accounts, not their general holding accounts. So they made a few different announcements about different insurance policies, but it's always been around custodial accounts, which usually is not what a normal trading account is. A lot of people are, you know, one thing for everybody out there, a lot of people have been reading deeply into the fact that their accounts, if they log into KuCoin, they still see ERC-20 tokens in their accounts. You know, always remember, that's a database entry. That's not usually what is in your account in an exchange. Is not reflective of what is in your account on the blockchain or what the exchange is actually holding. So if you log in and you see that your accounts are still whole on KuCoin, that has absolutely no bearing on whether or not they still have enough funds to cover the amount that you owe them. And so that's, you know, it's all pretty shady. They've done a very, very, very poor response, I think, both to the community and to individuals, assuring them, and to people like us that watch this professionally, assuring them that they actually have the money that they can possibly cover this.
So what's the community's response been?
Well, this has been where it's been really interesting. I mean, obviously, you know, there's been some tokens that immediately went and shut down the hackers' funds. So about $30 million worth of Tether was taken, and all Tether and Bitfinex immediately went and blacklisted the address and shut down access to that. They're going to reissue it and they'll issue it back to the to KuCoin. So no money will be lost there. Ocean Protocol did something similar. They froze their protocol. They did a hard fork. They're asking everyone to move over to the hard fork. They will then reverse all these transactions. You know, this is where truly decentralized protocols like SNX, which has a DAO behind it, and not decentralized protocols like Tether or Ocean, you really see the difference. So most of the protocols are not basically are not doing anything. They if you're decentralized, you really can't do much against this. And that's a big benefit of crypto in general. Like, people want that property on crypto. They want to be able to know that, you know, if the government where they live does, like, gets mad at them, that they can't freeze out their funds. That's a feature of crypto. So for centralized protocols, centralized smart contracts, they can actually freeze that out. It's, you know, they're doing it right now. So that's been one side of the response. The other side has just been, you know, everyone reminding everyone that, you know, they're not your keys, they're not your coins. So always remember that. That is the tagline for crypto. If your coins are being held on exchange, you do not own them. You own an IOU for those coins, so that you are, you know, totally liable to these types of attacks. And if KuCoin goes under because of this and you had a lot of funds there, you are SOL. So always, you know, put just as much on the exchange as you are going to be trading, and then sweep it into your ledger, your hardware wallet, as quickly as you can.
All right. Well, that'll do it for today. Thank you, as always, for listening to the DeFi Daily, and we'll keep you updated on this story as it progresses.
All right. Have a good one. Hope your coins are safe, everybody.
Yeah.
Bye.